This is a podcast from the people behind the world's longest running football fans podcast, The Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and listen anywhere that you get your podcasts. You can have a free subscription where this lands straight in your email inbox, and you can go to theCelticUnderground.substack.com. You can also have a paid subscription where you get some additional content, including the In Conversation podcast every week, and the Selecta written, which is basically a rehash of the E-Tim's Rumour Mill, from Glenn Tintin from years ago. Anyway, this is me, Harry Brady, with this week's podcast. Andrew and I are going to review the cup semi-final against St Johnstone. First of all, Andrew, before we get into the game itself, how did you cope with the app setup?
It was remarkably simple. I don't know about anybody else, but we saw queues and thought, oh no, this is going to be forever. But it went real easily, because there was somebody, I don't know if it's your turnstile, but there was somebody on our turnstile who would take your phone off you and do it for you. No?
Oh, no. There was a guy who, on my turnstile, I'm sure he once saw where Hampden was on a map, which is my attitude to most of the stewards they seem to have at Hampden.
God love them. Do you know, it's like there's a kind of steward class. It disturbs me. When you used to go to America, and you would see that it was only non-whites who would clean your rooms and hotels and da da da. Now we're almost getting like that with stewarding at football games.
I actually look at some of them, particularly the female stewards, and I think nobody's talked through with you the possibility of, if something goes wrong at a football game, the type of person you're dealing with here and what it is that might go wrong.
Just being with the people. But you know, the funniest thing was the guy in front of us had a, like, just as he was getting towards the end of the queue, and I thought, oh, he's worried about his app, he's worried about his phone, he's worried about that. But then I saw it. I mean, I know people might not believe me because I keep going on with this, but it was the quarter bottle Bucky, right? So he's worried about where he put it. And then he puts it in his back pocket and tries to pull down his T-shirt, right? But the thing kept popping up, the T-shirt kept popping up, because so you could see the top of it. And I said to my brother, I said, there's no way he's getting in with that. Because I saw the guy was kind of frisking people and all that. Uh-huh. And he also had, did you have the same thing?
Metal detector thing. Which was waved vaguely in the general direction of me, I'm 83-year-old dad.
Well, that was exactly the same. Because the guy patted him down. Like, he patted down just the size of his body. He metal detected him. And then he waved him through, you know, and there's this big quarter bottle of Bucky sticking out of his pocket.
Because as we're going through, my brother said to me, maybe the Green Brigade need to get a few people 50 plus to join them. Because we'll get the flares and no problem.
Because
they don't check us.
I put myself forward, you know, well like that, and the guy just pushed me from behind, you know what I mean, to carry on. Like, but he was not interested in frisking me of any variety.
I mean, so I'm in a group, there's me and my brother and my dad and another person in the group, and get the email sent through about the ticket, and then goes to my dad. My dad's 83. He's got an email address and does use a computer. He does have a smartphone, right? But he has no apps on it, and he uses it. He's only got a smartphone because it's really difficult to get a phone that's not a smartphone these days. And he doesn't really use it. His mobile phone is not something he uses, right? So when it then all comes through and I'm reading the instructions, I'm thinking, oh, how am I going to... It's a pain in the arse. And then I work out that actually... So I send, you know, because Celtic's ticket office online had said, if you've got any issues with the app, email us. So I email the ticket office and say, my dad's 83. He's got an email address, but he doesn't have a smartphone. How am I going to get him in and use it? While I'm waiting for their reply, I work out what to do after I've loaded the app on my phone. That the simplest thing is, I work out, which is not the simplest thing. What I did was, I've now worked out, was the second simplest thing. The simplest thing was, I set up an account for me. I get my phone on my app, the app ticket on my app. Then I phone him. I log out of me on the app. I phone him and log in as him. It sends a code to him. While I'm on the phone, the email arrives, giving him the code. I then register him on the app, and then I've got an account for him on my phone with the ticket. I then end the phone call with him, and I just transfer through the app. I just transfer the ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm logged in as him. I transfer the ticket to my app. I then log out as him, log on as me, and both the tickets there. Subsequently, I've realised the even simpler process is on the Celtic ticket scheme is just to change his contact email address to my contact email address because he's no interest in getting emails. And it then means they'll send to me, the tickets will come to my email address and they'll load up on. But after I do all this, I get the response from Celtic, which is, really sorry, there's nothing that can be done to get it onto your phone because the ticket's been sent to your dad's email account.
So they didn't even tell you about the transfer?
I thought, well, I've worked out what to do, and you're telling me there's no solution here. I mean, if you weren't, I'm not saying I'm particular. You know, you needed to be particularly IT savvy to come up with what I did. But if you weren't at all IT savvy, you'd have been stuffed thinking, "Well, that's us pay for a ticket we can't use."
Yeah, I know. Although St. Anthony was looking for a ticket, if you noticed that on X, and a couple of people said, "Yeah, you can have mine." So there were some paper tickets going around. I don't know what. Where they were they from? For
I don't know.
Hospitality or something.
If it wasn't well massively advertised, but you could get a paper ticket. I don't know. I mean, I know because I spotted this only a couple of weeks ago. I bought something for the Hydro in a few months' time, on Ticketmaster. That you can, you know, you get the QR code sent to your Ticketmaster account. Yeah. You can get a souvenir. Paper copy or hard copy of the ticket, and it costs you buy it from Ticketmaster, so you get your ticket for the event. But if you want to be, you can buy a ticket.
That's like your man O'Leary and Ryanair selling air and all that, isn't he?
But the thing is, you can't use that ticket. I don't think. I think it really is just a souvenir thing.
That's right. That's right. You could. It's like your package and it's souvenir ticket, lanyard. You can buy that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know, but it doesn't do you any good on the night. It's just for, as you say, just to keep.
Yeah, just for memento. So the only issue I had, I had to put my QR code in about 5-6 times before it worked. But apart from that, it was fine.
Right. No, the guy seemed to do yours quite quickly. He took it off me because I was going to do it myself, and he took it off me.
Spotted you coming.
Boy, and then did my boy, then he just did me and then gave it to me, you know.
He thought, that's that Jakey guy who's in those videos.
Typecasting.
So the game itself, what were your thoughts about the game itself?
Do you remember Ange's first season? And was St Johnstone in the semi-final of the League Cup?
Mm-hmm.
I worried about the first 20 minutes. Was it going to be another one of those kind of quite attritional kind of Celtic pushing, but St Johnstone kind of being pretty resolute and just holding them out. But then 12 minutes, 4 goals in 12 minutes. And I'll tell you, I was surprised that he started with Jota and Kuhn. As I was talking on here with Ross last week and saying, is that the kind of wrist slap for Kuhn and Jota, the home game, you know, the home game against Kilmarnock, and you think, bring them back for a big game. I was impressed, actually, that he stood by the team that played so well against Kilmarnock. It was the right thing to do, but it's also, I think, in terms of managing your personnel, because if they'd all just dropped out again, it's like, you know, you would feel disheartened. You think, God, I've come in, I've played well. You know, look, I've raised the level of the team from where it was at Perth. But the very fact you say, no, you guys did all that. Therefore, it's your shout.
Yep.
I say you guys, but there's three people you think of. It's Scales, it's Forrest, and...
Well, it's four, actually. Ida, Forrest, Scales and Taylor.
Taylor, I suppose, because Taylor had kind of lost his place. And Taylor, I think Taylor and Forrest have made a big difference. I'm not going to sicken your happiness here by saying Scales has made a big difference. It's like, I think the nature of the games, you know, like, I don't want you, you know. This big fist coming down the screen at me. But the other three, I think the other three have.
I don't think Taylor's the greatest player. I think he's fine for games against teams like that where we are not playing defensive football. I mean, you're saying about being a bit nervous. Actually, my brother and I were talking about this just before kickoff. I felt the same that I did in Angie's last game in the cup final against Inverness, where I went to that game feeling zero jeopardy. I had absolutely no doubt we were going to win the game. I mean, there wasn't, and it was the same on Sunday. I had zero doubt that we were going to win that game.
I suppose because they'd beaten Celtic, what, 2 weeks, fortnight before, you thought that lightning isn't going to strike twice. I know the phrase is lightning never strikes twice in the same place and it was a different venue, but you know the general thrust of what I'm getting at here. No, it was Glenn Gibbons, God rest his soul. When anybody used to say that about the way I've just used it, it would be right down on top of you. The phrase is, lightning never strikes twice in the same place. It's not the same place. It's Perth and it's Hampden.
Yeah, but my attitude was a bit like, we drew 2 each with Aberdeen at Celtic Park. And then the next time we played them was at Hampden and we gave them an absolute doing because Brendan was irritated that somebody, another team had the temerity to think they could compete with Celtic. We lose to Hibs at Easter Road and then play them at Celtic Park in the Cup and I'm not sure if they crossed the halfway line. So it was my same thought process about having lost to St Johnstone, that Brendan's attitude would be, we are not having a team like St Johnstone think they can compete with us. Go out and give them a doing.
And they needed everything to go right, even to win that game. They needed everything to go for them. There was a couple of mistakes. Good build-up play with Celtic. There was a couple of mistakes in their back line in the sense of, I think, the first couple of goals. And once the dam was kind of burst, you just felt it was going to be one way.
Yeah, and it was that thing as well in a cup game compared to a league game. So a league game, your strategy is we're just going to hold tight and, see if we can frustrate the crowd and maybe move up the park after half time and then, see where we are in the game after with 20 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go. That's a league game. In a cup game, and if you keep doing that and then you go a goal behind, well, we're still going to keep it tight because it's a league game. Goal difference matters at some point in the season, so we don't want to get a doing here. In a cup game, it's a binary. You're either going to win or lose that game. So the minute they go behind and they don't have the capability to do anything, then there's almost an element of that they're just sitting there waiting for us to score the second and the third and the fourth because there's nothing they could do. They're not capable of doing anything else. And particularly because I remember one of my mates commenting that Hampden wasn't, there was other pitches that he played on that were as big as Hampden. But Hampden felt like a bigger pitch when you were on it because the stadium was so large and it just tied you in. It just felt like your teammate was so far away because everything about Hampden made the pitch feel even bigger than it was. Yeah, so they're at Hampden and so pretty straightforward.
I'm still getting used to the standing. Do you know?
So where were you? Were you in the Celtic end?
I was down in the Rangers end.
Right.
In the Rangers end, right on the kind of. Do you know where when McGregor scored and ran to the crowd?
Mm-hmm.
That was exactly where I was. Right. My boy said, "I think he's celebrating with us," kind of thing. Because it was almost as if he was looking at us, kind of thing. Because we were a bit double B or something, so you're kind of. It was actually okay because you weren't right. If you're not right behind the goal, me and my boy were at the Scotland Northern Ireland game, and it was hellish because if you're right behind the goal net, then you're the furthest point away. But because you're in the corner flag, it's not quite the ball element's not quite started. But I just don't understand. I know there's been a debate. I know we had a kind of back and forth with a couple of our subscribers on Substack, but I just don't understand why people do stand because you just don't get as good a view. But you know what I realised I could do? There was a little window for me. So every time the ball went in the Celtic half, after about half an hour, I would sit down because I could see it. I could actually see it better on the screen than I could that half if I would have watched it with naked eye. But my problem was the two guys in front of me created that wee kind of window, but both of them wore glasses and they like kind of chatting to each other. So they would turn around and look at each other and be moved. Because they were wearing glasses, they would keep fixing their glasses, you know. Like, so as soon as they were fixing their glasses, like, because you know, people sometimes, you know, and they're talking quite animated, I would lose the window. I was just like, oh, I wish you guys didn't have glasses and didn't like each other.
Part of the problem at Hampden is if you are in the front 2-3 rows, if you sit down, you can't see the pitch.
Yeah,
because the advertising
holds. That is the ripple effect.
So the minute they stand up, everybody's got to stand up. The only thing is now the North stands at Hampden. Now I can remember the Henrik Larsson hat trick final Cup final against Kilmarnock. I was in the North. I remember being in the North stand and everybody was sitting there. Because I remember being at the end of a row.
Family have spoken about that. I mean, obviously, I've not been to Hampden much. I've never been to. I was at the North stand. I think one time I had a day off. Do you remember that mad 4-3 semi final against Jackie McNamara's Dundee United?
Yeah.
Remember that one? That's the only time I've sat in the North stand.
So, yeah, they used to sit there, now they stand. I race on as soon as tickets are available to get the South stand so that my dad can sit, because everybody sits in the South stand in general. Although occasionally there's been sections where people have stood and been there where people have then stood and the majority of people are sitting. So people have then said, sit down. And the people standing up and told them to F off. And I've thought, well, have some consideration. And I remember once a guy saying, well, some of us can't stand for a whole game. We'll go home and watch it on the telly. And I thought, that's the most ignorant attitude. That basically what that guy is saying to the people who are sitting, see, if you're now at a stage in your life where you're incapable of standing, you don't deserve to come to Celtic games. I mean, that's effectively, you don't have the right to come to Celtic games and watch them. It's effectively what the guy who was standing was saying. But it demonstrates to me why it's necessary to have a dedicated standing section, or even, if everyone's starting to stand, a dedicated sitting section. Because I do rush on to the South Stand to be able to get a section, a bit where I know there's, you're at the front row above the bit, one of the passageways, the two passageways at either end. And, you know, if you can get the front row there, then you're guaranteed no matter what happens, nobody's going to be standing in front of you. The majority of South Stand goes to corporate and employees of Celtic and all that type of, players and stuff like that. So there's not a massive amount of South Stand tickets available. So as soon as the tickets become available, they're going on sale at 10 o'clock tomorrow. So I'll be logged onto that site from 9:15 in the morning, just sitting waiting, so that 10 o'clock I'm at the front of the queue to be able to get a South Stand seat, to be able to pick them so that I can get bits where you sit down.
Oh, good plan. But I know, when it comes to standing at games, the ultimate act of support or self-harm for me is we've only been to a few away games, kind of get tickets, but happens my boy, two of the three away games he's been to this season, both Fir Park games. And in both those Fir Park games, he hasn't seen any of the goals, because they're all scored at that goal, where the Celtic stand is. Yeah. He's in the upper tier. And if everybody sat in the upper tier, it's just because of the slope of Fir Park. You can't see the byline. But see when you stand up, and this isn't just children, this is adults, you can't actually see, because my brother took him the first Fir Park game when Celtic scored both their goals up there. And then I took him for the Jota homecoming goal. But we never saw it. We never saw Jota crying and all that. See, if we'd been sitting, we would have seen all of that. We'd have seen all of that live. But yeah, actually, people stand, and then what it means is they can't see the game. Now, does that not say something about what your attitude towards the actual football is to me? I know I've been Mr. Celtic dad, pull-faced. But we couldn't see, and it was a great moment. It was one of the moments of the season.
Yep.
Do you know what, scoring that goal and crying? And we would have seen that. But nobody could see, apart from the people in the front, as you say, but they stop everybody else just because of the slope at Fir Park. Mm-hmm. If you're in that upper tier,
there's only one. It's similar at Tynecastle. The stands too, because the stands so close to the pitch.
So close, yeah.
Then you can't actually see the goal line. It's very well from certain angles. And as you say, if people are standing up, it's difficult to see it. But for me, I remember once being at Hampden before everybody was standing all the time everywhere. Being at Hampden, God, what was the game? Was it Hartson or McGeady? Was it Hartson missed a penalty against Rangers?
Yeah. Against Rangers, yeah. The League Cup final, 2003, that was, wasn't it?
And I was right down at the front of the Celtic end. Because I always remember that. The ball was going in, and it must have, just the way the turf not being perfectly, very good at Hampden at the time. The ball was going in and then just sort of just bounced a fraction. Yeah. And it curved just past the post or hit the post. Whatever it was, you could tell, like. But the thing about it was, I was in the front row, and if I'd sat down, I wouldn't have seen the game. Because actually the pitch at Hampden slightly elevated. It's on a slight upward slope. And then you've got the advertising hoardings that they put up behind the goal. So if you didn't stand, you couldn't see it. So the minute you stand, the guy behind you's got to stand. And the minute he stands, for me, the biggest reason people stand, particularly Celtic end and Rangers end, is because Hampden's a shite stadium.
Yeah, you're always reminded of that. But I thought it was good atmosphere. I actually thought it was a good atmosphere. It was a really enjoyable day. I love it when they've got occasion to sing. I mean, that's my favourite. Like piling on the agony, putting on the style kind of thing, And that's my boy's favourite as well. Sort of like, so we were actually singing along heartily to that, Because I thought they might have got a six.
Well, so again, half-time, we are talking, saying, is this going to be like the Kilmarnock game? Is it going to finish 4-1 or 4-0 at full-time because we just don't bother our backsides? And we were debating the attitude then was, what was St Johnson's attitude? Because 4-0 at half-time, it's a cup game. Well, if you don't try, you're not going to win. But equally, if you try, we might score 6 or 7.
I think Valakari said that. I told them at half-time, dreams gone kind of thing. Just make sure it's no
absolute nightmare. Yeah. And they did press, but the thing that I wasn't surprised when Jota and Kuhn came on, because about 5 minutes in, I noticed Brendan was getting quite agitated with the team and wanting greater width. I said to my brother, well, Brendan's attitude, because we were talking about, does Brendan say to the players, right, you've won this game, next week you're playing for the league, so don't do anything stupid, just make sure you get through the game? Or does he say to the players, these people have all paid to watch 90 minutes of entertainment, you owe them a performance in the second half as much as you've done, your brilliant performance in the first half, you owe them the same performance in the second half because they've all paid extra money to come to this game. Which way would it be? And about 5 minutes in, I'm saying it's patently the latter, because he was getting exceptionally agitated about the lack of width in the team. Right. So it was no surprise when Kuhn and Jota came on to give us that extra width.
What a finish from Jota.
Oh, it was an excellent finish from Jota. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, there wasn't any great angles of it in the BBC, because I thought, that's something I want to see it slowed down, exactly where he hit it, and just the cleanness of that kind of strike. And he only had a little kind of narrow kind of angle to put it in. So, I didn't think they did that justice on the TV.
No, they didn't. And actually, it was one of those ones, the ball's coming across. It was all very fast. And of course, it would be the opposite end to you, whereas I'm sitting in the corner of the Celtic end and the... And I'm in the south stand because I rushed on to get it. I'm in the, I'm right above the passageway through it. So I had an excellent view of the kid who ran on the pitch at that goal as well.
Right. We didn't even know a kid had run on.
Went on to get a selfie, then comes off, right? Comes down the passageway and his dad's smiling and laughing and filming him the whole time. And I'm thinking, I understand why people go, "Ugh, it's only a kid," right? But if 20 of them do it, it's a pain in the arse. And then if the stewards do take the attitude of, ugh, we can just let kids go on the pitch. I mean, I always think of the principle of what happens if a complete arsehole gets on at some point and does something. You know, you can't, you just can't do it. So the dad smiling and joking that his kid, or certainly the adult who was with him smiling and joking, kid gets taken down, he's with the police. So the guy then comes out and the policeman patently says, you know, is he with you? Yes, he is. Dad walks over to him. Then the policeman then, he goes to go back in his seat because it's right in front of me. And the police are like, no, we're taking you in. Miraculously, obviously demonstrating something, miraculously, the two of them seem to be completely stunned at the prospect that they weren't going to be allowed to have his son run on the pitch in a game, take a selfie, and then just go back in and be allowed to watch the game. This seemed to be come as a major surprise to them. The kid starts welling up. The dad starts to be raging and utterly dumbfounded at the prospect that they are being shepherded away.
Dumbfounds me that they're dumbfounded. What does that tell you?
I mean, I'm watching it thinking, you're surprised that you're not being allowed back in. I wouldn't be surprised if you get taken aside by Celtic and they go, right, you're banned for life, mate. Because if I wanted to stop getting people getting on the pitch, that's it. You know, they did it. Cricket did it quite successfully. You enter the field to play, you're banned for life. And they stop people going on.
Remember there was a spate of them. Was it a European game or something?
European games.
Three or four? One game, and you thought, that's
remember,
good,
remember
really
there was fun. A guy... I mean, I didn't celebrate when McDonald scored against AC Milan because everybody's watching him. I then see this guy run on. Subsequently, you then see he hardly touches Dida. But a guy runs on, I can then see he does something and Dida goes down and I'm thinking, well, that's us fucked. That's us banned. Yeah. That's us out.
You thought it was, Rapid Vienna all over again.
Yeah, maybe we are prejudiced in the, and people 10 plus years younger than us are not because we experienced Rapid Vienna. But do you remember there was a guy came on and started making his way to Neymar?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And the way that guy was, I was really concerned that he's going to... Now, subsequently, I've spoken to people and apparently the police were utterly stunned at that guy. He had so much stuff in his system afterwards. Amazed that he was capable of putting one foot in front of the other, that guy, apparently.
Now, I'll tell you, the craziest one of even recent times, and it was up at Pittodrie, was when that guy ran the length of the park. He was live streaming it. Remember, he ran up to Joe Hart?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he was on for ages, and nobody, there wasn't any stewards went near him. I think he maybe dodged a few, but then there was only a couple he had to dodge, and then went all the way up. He was English, and I think he was just wanting to look at Joe Hart and his live stream.
And I suppose that's part of my issue with my irritation with it. Much as I use my phone a lot, and much as I'm on social media and all that stuff, I can't be arsed with people whose validation of life comes from whether they've got their 10 seconds of fame on some sort of stream. Or, you know, when you see people posted up videos that are obviously staged. So I suppose part of my issue with it is seeing people who are like that kid. I did notice somebody stuck up on Twitter saying cool stuff from the kid, and every single reply was, it's no cool, it's shame. we're gonna get on to you're happy with the result.
I was happy with the result. The day, as I say, Hamden, it is shithole, as you say. And it's like, it's embarrassing that they're doing very little to it before it's hosting Euros games. It's embarrassing. It's just, it's never a national stadium worthy of the name, you know?
No. And
but they've got no money. They'll never change. Yeah, they'll change.
So not change. It's like so much of Scotland. It's shit. Yeah. Everybody knows it's shit. And nobody's got any money to fix it.
Yeah. You sound like somebody from Glasgow City Council.
Don't get me started.
Oh, don't. I'm sorry I said it.
Used to be a great place. Anyway, we've got questions that I'm going to go through to try and keep the podcast tight. Did you watch any of the Aberdeen Hearts game?
I only saw a wee bit. I saw the major incidents and I saw the but I was listening to the radio because I was driving to Dunblane kind of thing, or overnight in Dunblane Hydro, so I was listening to it. And, well, it seemed to be, you confirmed what they were suggesting the radio, just the quality was just deplorable.
Oh, I decided to go and watch, I got Tippex and painted that on the wall and watched that dry. I was a million times more entertaining than one of the... Do you remember the 90... So the 19... God, what was it? Was it 79 or 80? The cup final where Man United and Arsenal, the exciting one down in England, FA Cup final, and Hibs and Rangers, the boring 0-0 draw. Was it 79? No, must be 79.
79.
Yeah, obviously, because 80 was us. 79 cup final. So I was fortunate that time. We lived down in West Kilbride that year. And if you put a portable telly in the bathroom upstairs, we could pick up the picture from... So the Rangers game's rubbish. And then we end up watching the exciting Man United Arsenal 3-2 cup final. But yeah, my memory of that Rangers game, it was boring as hell. This game was worse. I mean, it was just...
It's
awful.
Like, do you know, it's a strange thing. I was talking to a former colleague today. We're talking about the fact that obviously it's 40 years since, I think it's just coming up in 40 years since another team other than Celtic and Rangers won the championship. But it's Aberdeen and the Aberdeen and Hearts fans that are always saying to me, you know, that I used to work with and all that, oh, this is boring. This is dull. This is terrible. This is tedious. And another colleague I was speaking to today, the two of us were agreeing. It's like, you know, it's shocking how Aberdeen and Hearts, how little impression they've made. They've got budgets almost four times half of the league. It's like, I was saying to my friend today, I said, why is it that no Scottish team's been able to do what Aberdeen did in the first 2 months of this season and marry that with what Hibs have done in the last 6 months? Shouldn't it be beyond the odd occasion? You're not expecting it. I mean, Celtic and Rangers, especially Celtic now, their kind of budget's even stretching away for Rangers again. You know, they're going to be hard to beat. But the very fact that there's non-existent challenges, what Aberdeen did in the first couple of months of the season and what Hibs have done in the last five or six, these teams, Hibs, Aberdeen and Hearts, one of them should be able to do that almost every other year.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, I sometimes think, is down to the league. And if the problem for them is they play, they never get momentum because they play four or five games and then they play one of Celtic and Rangers.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they play four or five games.
If you look at it recently, like Hibs, they drew with Rangers, they beat Celtic, they beat Rangers. You know, that's their last game.
But in general, they will...
I know in general why.
They will play four or five games and then they'll play Celtic at home and draw or lose. Then they play four or five games and they play at Ibrox and lose. Then they play four or five games and play at Celtic Park and lose. Then they play four or five games and play Rangers at home and draw or lose. In general. Whereas if they were only if it was a bigger league... And they were only playing us once at home and once away and once... They could get 9-10 games before they play one of us. And they can build a bit of momentum. And they might actually... The players have that self-belief that when they come round to playing us because they've just gone in a night... You know, they've won 8 out of the last 9 games. They play us at home and draw. So they've continued their unbeaten run. I do think that might be part of it. But in general, you're right. I mean, when was the last time... The same team finished third two seasons in a row in Scotland.
We were in Aberdeen. The first year there was a Rangers in the top.
And when there was no Rangers, yeah.
And then
did they finish twice two seasons?
I think three seasons in the spin they finished.
Right, so 10 years. So it's 10 years since a team has finished best of the rest.
10 years.
Same team has finished best of the rest.
No, in fairness to Aberdeen, that was them finishing second in those three consecutive seasons.
I know, but that's because there was only one Glasgow team in the league.
So. Well, they did it with Rangers in the league, if you remember.
Celtic
handily lost it, the only home league defeat of Brendan Rodgers' first spell, you know, just before the 2018 Cup final. And what do you know? A 5-5 with Lenny at Hibs, like against Rangers. And hey presto, I think Aberdeen got second place, didn't they?
Aye. But you're right, and they should be doing better. Well, put it this way, our game on Sunday was the two teams who've won the Scottish Cup most this century, playing against each other.
Yeah, and the other semi-final was the, I think, they're the next two in terms of the number of Scottish Cups. I think is it Aberdeen and Hearts that are the next highest? Well, if you miss out, I forgot about Rangers.
Queen's Park. Queen's Park, I think, are still the third or fourth best Scottish Cup team in Scottish football.
I thought they'd maybe just slip below Aberdeen and Hearts, but could be wrong.
Thanks for downloading and listening to this podcast. However, if you are a paid subscriber, keep listening. There's more of the podcast left.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision. And also subscribe to theCelticUnderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.